So. So straight away over to Richard. Are you ready? Morning. All right. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Jenny.
Good morning, everybody. Morning. So we're here to praise the Lord. So we're going to sing Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Can you grab the lady back, haven't you?
I've got the wrong page, haven't I? It's run out.
So the next song, Guard Us, Guide Us, is a prayer really leading us into the prayer.
This is a song that was written by Jilly actually a few years ago, and so we're going to sing it to you, but if you feel you can join in with the chorus, please do.
Show us the way to go. Show us the way, Lord Jesus. There is so much we need to know. Creation is groaning for the sons to be revealed. Our love join this frail heart of ours. Bring joy and peace among your children. God has guided us, lead us into the deeper things of you. There is no other like you who can show us the way to go. Show us the way, Lord Jesus. There is so much we need to know. Creation is groaning for the sons to be revealed. Our heart is to bring you glory, Lord, as we show love one to another. Your heart's desire is unity, forever in heart and soul and mind. Deeper things of you. There is no other like you who can show us the way to go. Show us the way, Lord Jesus. There is so much we need to know. Creation is groaning for the sun to be revealed.
And now, as we come to prayer, I'm going to lead you into a prayer for our world, for our own country, and for each other. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray for peace in your world. We pray for an end to all war and aggression. We pray for our own country. We pray for our Queen. We pray for all in authority. And Lord, as there is this forthcoming election of a new Prime Minister, we pray that you would give to all involved your wisdom, that the right person might be appointed. We pray for our families and our friends. We pray for each other. And Lord, we pray for our witness. May we truly be your ambassadors. May we share your love with all the people that we meet. May we be your faithful servants. And will you, Lord, be our strength, our comfort, our healer? Will you be all that we need? And above all, Lord, will you give to us your peace? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So this next song, When I Feel the Touch, is chosen by Sarah, and it was found in her mum's Bible, and she had it her mum's and her dad's and her brother's Thanksgiving. So we're going to sing it today in remembrance of them and for Sarah and for us. It's a beautiful song.
Feel the touch of your hand upon my life. It causes me to sing a song that I love you.
Special prayer now, remembering that William Park, on Tuesday it will be the anniversary of 6 years from his passing. We're going to give thanks for Sarah's mother and for William. William was one of us here and we got to know him well. So let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for Sarah's mother. We thank you, Lord, for all that she was to the family. And today, as we remember that it's 6 years for him. We want to thank you for his life. He was a man of deep, real faith. He was a man of love. He was a man of kindness. He was a man with a quiet humor. And above all, he was an excellent dad and an excellent member of your church here, Lord. And we thank you for every memory of him. Lord, we praise you because we know that William would be saying today, give the thanks for my life to my God, because he loved God. He spent his life serving God. And we give you thanks, O Lord, for every memory of William Park, of his wife, and we thank you for all that they meant to Sarah, and we bless you, and we praise you, Lord, because you use people like them, and it's so wonderful to see how you can transform a person, how you can use them in your service. Oh Lord, you are good, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we're going to sing a new commandment I give unto you, which is obviously God speaking to us, but we're going to sing it.
Love one another as I have loved you.
the reading, two chapters. In my defense, one is only 21 verses and the other is only 14 verses. But it is a long reading. Bless you, Jean.
A living sacrifice. And it's from Romans 12 and 13. Two chapters. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Humble service in the body of Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Submission to governing authorities. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Love fulfills the law. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The day is near. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Amen.
Great challenge there, isn't it? Thank you.
So just before Bruce's message, we're going to sing Bind Us Together, Lord. We actually had this at our wedding, but it's a lovely song about binding us all together as a family. And apparently it's you are the family of God in the third verse. But we kind of like to sing we are the family of God because we think we're included too. We're not just singing it to you. And that's what we had in our words. So originally it was written you. So we'll sing we in verse 3.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, oh, bind us together with love.
Bind us together.
The title, Right Relationships Means Right Living. If our relationships are right, then we will be living as we should be. In all of his letters, Paul concluded with a list of practical duties that were based on the doctrines that he had discussed. In Christian life, doctrines and duty always go together. In other words, what we believe helps us to determine how we behave. Can I repeat that? What we believe helps us to determine how we behave. The key idea in these two chapters is relationship. The term relational theology is a relatively new one, but the idea is not new. In other words, if we have the right relationship to God, we will have a right relationship to the people who are part of our lives. So we have for you 4 points. Number one, our relationship to God. That's an important one, isn't it? Our relationship to God. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. A, we are to give God our body. Before we trusted Jesus, we probably used our body for sinful pleasures and purposes. But now that we belong to God, we are to use our bodies, what for? For His glory. So, we give God our body. Also, verse 2, we give God our mind. The world wants to control our mind, but God wants to transform our minds. The world wants to change our minds, so it exerts pressure from without. But the Holy Spirit changes our minds by releasing His power from within. God, in other words, transforms our minds and makes us spiritually minded by loving His word. As we spend time meditating on God's word, as we spend time memorizing God's word and making it, and this is important, making it part of our life, God will gradually make our minds more spiritual. So we give God our body, we give Him our mind, and we give Him, still from verse 2, we give God our will. Our mind controls our body, and our will controls our mind. Many people think that they control their will by willpower, but usually they fail. It is only when we yield our will to the will of God that His power can take over. We need to surrender our wills to God through disciplined prayer. Because, you know, as we spend time in prayer, we surrender our will to God. And we pray with Him, if you like, that famous statement in the Lord's Prayer, not my will, but thine be done. We must let God have His way in everything. To have a right relationship with God, we must start the day by yielding God our bodies, our mind, and our spirit. Number two, there's our relationship to other believers, our relationship to each other as members of God's family. Paul was writing to Christians who were members of local churches in Rome. He described their relationships to each other in terms of members of a body. The basic idea is that each believer is a living part of the Christian's body, that is, of course, the church. And each one of us has a spiritual function to perform. As we know, each believer has a gift or gifts to be used in the building up of the body, the building up of the church. In short, we belong to each other. We minister to each other and we need each other. What are the essentials then of spiritual ministry and grace in the body of Christ? Well, listen, I've got three for you. The first is honest evaluation, and we take this from verse 3. Each Christian must know what their spiritual gifts or gifts are and what ministry they have in the local church. It's not wrong. No. It's not wrong for a Christian to recognize gifts in their own life and in the gifts of others. What is wrong is the tendency to have a false evaluation of ourselves. Nothing causes more damage in a local church than a believer who overrates themselves and tries to perform a ministry that they cannot do. Sometimes the opposite to that is true too. People undervalue themselves. And both of those attitudes, my friends, are wrong. When the individual believer in a church knows the gifts that they have, accepts them by faith, and uses them for God's glory, then God can bless us in a very wonderful way. There needs also to be faithful cooperation. Verses 4-8. We may not see the truth of our ministry, but the Lord sees it and he blesses it. And I ask you to note that the exhortation to the word encouragement is just as much a spiritual ministry, just as much an important gift as things like preaching and teaching, giving and showing mercy. They are all important gifts. Whatever gift we have must be faithfully dedicated to God and used for the good of the church. And you know, encouragement is certainly needed today in many of our churches. So our relationship to God, our relationship to each other. Number three, our relationship, here it comes, to our enemies. Oh dear. Verses 17 to 21 in chapter 12. The believer who seeks to obey God is going to love their enemies. Yes. If we obey God, we're going to love our enemies. When our Lord was ministering on earth, he had his enemies. So did Paul and the other apostles. Unfortunately, some believers have enemies because they lack love and patience and not because they are faithful in their witness. In other words, Christian must not play God and try to avenge themselves. Listen to this. Returning evil for evil or good for good is the way most people live. But the Christian's got to live on a much higher level and return good. for evil. So our relationship to God, our relationship to each other, our relationship to our enemies, and fourth, our relationship to the state. Not an easy one, chapter 13, verses 1 to 14. God has established three instructions: the home, the environment, and the church. Paul was writing to believers at the very heart of the Roman Empire. In our day, we have people who teach riot and rebellion in the name of Jesus. They would have us believe that the Christian thing to do is to destroy the law, rebel against the authorities, and permit every person to do what they think is right in their own eyes. And we find that Paul refutes this position by explaining four reasons why this is wrong. One, verses 1 to 4, for the sake of injustice. It is God who has established the government of the world. This does not mean he is responsible for the sins of tyrants, but only that the authority for government has come from him originally. God is the, if you like, the person who starts the ball rolling. He appoints the government. He appoints the person. Even though we cannot always respect the person who is in the office, we must respect the office itself. You understand that? We don't respect, perhaps, the person in office, but we must respect the office because the office was created by God. God, the government was ordained, if I can put it like that, by God. We must also do it for conscience sake. If we do not pay our taxes, we show disrespect to the Lord. The officials and the Lord, we show disrespect to them all if we don't pay our taxes. We might complain about the taxes, but this will affect our conscience. We may not agree with all that is done with the money that we pay, but we dare not violate our conscience by refusing to pay. That would be wrong. Graham, I'm sure at times you, and probably rightly so, do not like the way that our money is spent. And we're not saying that you should, but what we are saying is what we must respect the fact that we have to pay the taxes. We may not like how they're used. Next one is for love's sake, verses 8 and 10. Love one another is the basic principle of the Christian life, isn't it? We are told to love one another. It's the new commandment that Jesus gave to us. If we love others, we will not sin against them. As believers, we do not live under the law. We live under grace, praise the Lord. Ourselves, our motives for obeying God and helping others surely is the love of Jesus in our hearts. And if we love Jesus with all our heart, then, my friends, we will want to obey him and love one another. And the final one is, we do it for Jesus' sake, verses 11 to 14. We've come a long way in our reason for obeying the law, from fear to conscience to Christian citizen to devotion to Jesus and to the return of Jesus. A Christian citizen ought to be the best citizen. Christians may not always agree on their attitudes towards human government, but we are to obey, we are to love. And if we show love in our hearts, then, my friends, surely our attitude and our behavior will be what I believe Jesus wants it to be. And next week, well, the last one that I felt to use from Romans is Christians disagree. Oh dear. And that splits many churches. And I think it will be good for us to learn what Paul says about that. Because we believe, do we not, that what Paul says is what God has given him. In other words, it's God's word, not ours, that we share. And now for a bit of fun, not now, but the week after next week, you may be shocked at me. Because the messages aren't going to be, not when Christians disagree, but the week after. The message is going to be much lighter, bit of fun, but it's going to be true. You may like it, you may not, but we'll wait and see. I'm sure you'll tell me if you think that attitude is wrong. I'd value your prayers. Praise God because He is good. Thank you.
Well, you may have picked up in Bruce's message that part of it was talking about loving one another. So we're going to, first of all, sing Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. And then we're going to go into Praise Him, You Heavens, because, again, the reason we're here is because of God. And the first part of the message was about our right relationship with Him. And we come here to praise Him, not just on a Sunday morning, obviously, but other times too. So we'll start with Brother, Sister.
Brother, Sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. We are pilgrims on a journey and companions on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. I will hold the Christ light for you in the night time of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you. Seek the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping, when you love our love with you. I will share your joy and sorrow till we see this journey through. When we sing to God in heaven, we shall find such harmony. For of all we know together of Christ's love and agony. you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, King of heaven.
Because they stop breakfast at 11 o'clock, so that was it.
Yeah.
I was told 11. Anyway, let's join hands and say the grace.
Just get your bones up, yeah.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,
and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And we thank Sarah for hosting the breakfast.
Well, you just have to choose what you want, and I'll just pick, I don't know how it works.